quite well dressed.
Can you tell me who was your boss in a direct sense during all bosses? Who were your bosses during the time that you
worked? They were all librarians and they were women. Although, I mean, there were a number of men working there, but the people I reported to were senior librarians who were women, and I'm sorry, I can't remember their names. They were all women between about 30 and 45. Just really nice people, sensible, easy to work with, smart. And I can't remember their names, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Did you find it difficult because of the age difference between yourself and the staff there?
No, they were very educated, very pleasant.
Mm.
No, they were very pleasant people to work with, actually. Very clear in what they wanted me to do.
Mm.
If I had a problem, I could go back to them. They were very accessible. They were very experienced. Yeah, I wasn't reporting to really junior people. No, they were.
And your bosses would have changed, could change from week to week? Or?
No, not really. I remember when I worked here, I would have thought they had a lot of continuity in their staffing, actually. I don't remember massive changes. I mean, I was a little bit out of the politics of the workforce, but I remember a lot of stability, and certainly I reported to a woman at the annex for a long time. Yeah.
I was going to ask, did the annex situation where you were a team member?
Yeah, and she was there for as long as I was there.
Hmm.
She was quite young, actually. She was probably in her early 30s. She was a librarian.
Hmm. The project that you were working on in the annex, what sort of, can you describe an example of what kind of a project that you might have been involved in?
Well, as I say, I was pulling together compendiums of documents that, for one reason or another, belonged together, but which had never been bound together. And, I mean, I just remember one I did was a whole series of media releases that had been put out in a certain period of time by a certain minister because they wanted to track what he'd said about it, and it was considered of interest. And, you know, it was trying to find all those bits of paper. I mean, they were sort of strewn all over the place in various politicians' offices, in the parliamentary research area. The library had some of them. And so I'd just have to find them all. And if we got them all, we would then get them bound and indexed. And, I mean, some of that work was just because that period of time was interesting.
Mm.
Or perhaps there was a committee hearing coming up and they wanted to have some kind of perspective on... And media releases were of interest because they often were a ministerial statement about a particular topic, and they were an announcement of some policy initiative or something like that. So, yeah, so, I mean, that was just one I did, I remember, because it was actually quite tricky, that one, because the media releases didn't necessarily get treated in the same way as a report. So I was trying to find all of them. And that, because they were all numbered, you could tell if you had missing ones. Yeah, so there must have been some process in Parliament House for the release of media releases, I think, and therefore you could tell whether you had missing ones. Mm. Anyway, so it was sort of interesting. It was interesting work, yeah.
Mm. While you were at the annex, did you spend any... I think you said that you did not spend any... come over to Old Parliament House itself often?
Very often, actually. After I went to the annex, it was... Well, in a funny sort of way, I knew more about what was going here because we started to have team meetings. You see, people who haven't worked... younger people who are in the workforce don't understand what it was like in the older workforce. So, I mean, I never went to a team meeting when I worked in the parliamentary library here. I would get all of my communication about the workplace from the person I was reporting to. Now, I'm not sure if she went to team meetings, but it was very hierarchical kind of old-fashioned communication line. But when I went to the annex, it was different. It was a flatter structure, and the open plan meant people chatted.
Mm.
And because we didn't have the public there, you were freer to chat, I guess. And we also had team meetings. And there were written documents about, this is your project, this is how long it will take. It was just an entirely different context. Now, I don't know if that was because the annex did different work or whether a transformation had occurred, but that's what happened when I moved to the annex.
Well, would you say that library staff were integrated into the social relations of the building, or was there a tendency for them to be, let's call it a subculture within the larger culture of Parliament House?
Well, it's hard for me to say in a way because I was casual, but I guess the observation I'd make is that the people who were in the media monitors and the research area were the dominant culture amongst the staff. They were very outspoken. There was a lot of them. They did very intensive work. They had close relationships with politicians. They just seemed to fill up all the conversation at the cafe. And obviously they were dealing with points of substance, whereas librarians kind of do more the process behind the scenes. So I certainly got the impression that if you wanted to be a star, you probably should go to the research, or if you want to be noticed, you should go to the research area or the media monitors.
Mm.
It was all done manually. People worked very hard and fast.
Mm.
When you went into that area, there was a lot of, it was like a stock market, you know, like those scenes from stock markets. People are talking to each other. Have you found this? Where's that?
Mm.
You know, it was just a, and the politicians would wander around and pick out their favourite researcher. And that seemed to be the place to be.
Did you ever take part and be part of that?
Well, I used to like to go in my break. I used to like to walk through there to kind of pick up the vibes, and it was just fascinating to watch. And it was a bit, it's a bit like a stock market sort of environment, you know, and the politicians would be wandering around chatting, and it was just a very interesting place to be. Now, I didn't really get involved with that, and jobs did come up, but I was always told I'd have to have graduated and possibly even have my master's before I could get a job there. So I never applied for a job there.
Mm. Where exactly were they located, these others?
Well, my recollection, well, the Parliamentary Library, is it there? The Parliamentary Library is, I think, there, is it? I'm pointing.
Yeah, it's in between, it's between the where House of Representatives and the Senate. But
okay, so I used to have to walk through this huge open plan research media monitors area, which I think was below where we are now, like it was big, to get to the cafe. I mean, I could have gone through the courtyard, but Canberra's very cold. Mm. So I would actually walk through their work area, and also I'd be able to get the vibes of this amazing kind of, you know, engine room. So I think it was under here. And it was very open plan, and the cafe was sort of over in that corner there somewhere.
Were there any social clubs here?
Well, look, there were a lot of social clubs. I know there were, but I didn't join any. I mean, I was a bit out of my age group, and because I was a casual, I mean, this probably happens even today, but I just wasn't as integrated into everything as perhaps a full-time worker would have been.
So did you not socialise with your colleagues at work?
No, I didn't socialise, except when I had coffee with them. I mean, I was quite intimidated by a lot of people here. I mean, you know, they were very educated, very politicised, very outspoken, very confident, you know, more so than I had encountered in my environment up until that time.
So, in terms of the work, I know you worked part-time, but you also were a full-time student.
Mm.
How did this impact on your family life or private life?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I earned some money. It was very interesting. My father, as I say, is very politicised, and he was always just delighted to find out what had gone on and whether I'd seen anything. And I was probably... I probably disappointed him. I mean, you know, I didn't necessarily see anything, but I mean, he used to say, "Oh, you know, this happened in Parliament today, and did you see that?" And I'd say, "No."
That's a good question, actually. Did you have security clearance at all?
No, I didn't have a security clearance, but I had a pass, obviously. But I didn't have a security. So there were certain parts of the building I could not go into. That's true. I could not go through all parts of the building.
And did you have to sign any sort of declaration that you would not talk about what went on at work or anything of that nature?
No, I didn't. But not that I really ever saw anything of particularly sensitive nature, except on the day when poor Mr. Whitlam got sacked. That was just, yeah, I mean, who would have known that, you know, I would have been here that day? But no, I never signed anything.
Mm.
Even when I left, I never signed anything.
Mm.
But I mean, I didn't see secret documents or anything.
Can you talk about the parliamentary, as a member of the parliamentary library staff, was there anyone that you came to greatly admire? People that you had in dealings with, staff that you dealt with, but particularly people that, parliamentarians or others that you might have had some dealings with?
You mentioned I think one thing I learned, so as I say, I come from a family where people are very strong Labor supporters. So we grew up in Bill Hayden's electorate. Very strong Labor electorate. And my dad, you know, is a lifetime member of the Labor Party, used to scrutiny at the elections, used to do fundraising. So I guess when you grow up like that, you think that Labor people are really nice and Liberal coalition people are horrible. But when I worked in the parliamentary library, what I realised is that, you know, some of the Labor politicians would come in and some of them were very pleasant, some of them were very rude. Mm. Their personal politics could be quite varied. And likewise with the Liberal coalition, you know, the personal politics of people, obviously that was just too simplistic. Mm. So I guess I learned that, you know, both or all parties have people with varying personalities and levels of courtesy. And because in those days they were all men. And, you know, some of them were extremely rude and some of them were very pleasant.
I was coming to the, you know, when you said extremely rude, were there any that you particularly would mention as you would definitely did not admire?
Look, I've forgotten, to be honest with you. I remember some were very pleasant, very, very pleasant, and I can't remember who they were, to be quite honest with you. I remember discussing it with my dad. I mean, Mr. Wentworth could be very rude and very gruff and very impatient.
Mr. Wentworth?
Well, these days it would just be regarded as totally unacceptable. But he was handled well by the librarians.
So he stood out in many ways because it sounds as if you were quite impressed by his interest in...
Well, it was funny. He's such a big reader. Mm. And he was quite... After a while, he was quite pleasant to me because, like, I used to get his books and... Kind of got used to me, I suppose. But I always let the librarian handle him because if something didn't go according to his plan, he would get very cross. And
did you know anything about him at all as a politician?
No, I didn't. As I say, I was very naive. I've since read about him. At the time I met him, he was a small, chubby man, quite elderly, not a very good communicator, you know, he just sort of... it was really down to that. I had no idea of his history or anything.
He left Parliament in the year after, in 1977.
Did he? Okay, well, there you go. So, yeah, he was quite elderly, I remember. Mm. Yeah. There's no way he could have even gone up the ladder a little bit. I mean, he just wasn't...
Did you have any personal, you know, communication or discussions or talks with him at all?
He would just say, after a while he realised I was the one that would often get his books. And now and then when he'd be there, he'd say, well, I'm actually looking for this book. Can you get that book for me now? Rather than going through the librarian, and I'd go and get the book for him. Mm. I was always very obliging to him because I knew he was a big reader. And that was my job anyway. Mm. No, I didn't. I didn't know who... I mean, I knew his name and I used to talk to my father about him, and my father was very interested and obviously had a lot of respect for him. He knew that he'd been in Parliament a long time. But I didn't... Later on, I looked him up and I realised his long history and so forth.
You've mentioned as a political event that stands out in your mind the dismissal of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam in 1975. Can you talk a bit about what exactly, how did you find out and where were you in a sense, and walk me through
Well, I mean, I was due to work here that day. It was one of my rostered on days. And being the apolitical science student that I was, I just got up and got ready, as you do. And on my way to the bus, my dad said, "You're going to have an interesting day today." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Oh, well, there's all this going on and they've stopped supply." And I didn't even know what I didn't really know what it all meant. Because, as I say, I just didn't even know how Parliament worked. And I said, "Oh, right, okay." And I just listened to Dad and didn't react. I just said, "Oh, well, you know, things happen at Parliament House all the time and I don't notice them really." So when I came in, I normally start at about 9. So I came in, I just came in as I normally do. You go down the double doors, and I remember there was a lot of books to put away that day. And I went up the ladder, and I was actually more anxious about getting all the books, because I remember that day there was a lot of books to go away. And I was up there putting books away, and I just, I'm really vague on times, but I remember thinking, gee, there's something funny, you know, the sound of the library isn't quite what it normally is. And I think what it was is that it was quieter than normal. I mean, even though there was a hush sound, it was like dead quiet. So I came down off the ladder, and as I said to you before, it was usually the case that the library was quite well populated. I mean, you had librarians and people coming in and getting books, and well, you've pointed out that some of the politicians didn't even have offices, but certainly there was people around. But when I came down, I couldn't see a soul. There wasn't a single soul in the library. Not a person. So that sort of gave me a fright. I thought, gee, has there been a fire or something and people have forgotten about me, because I was up this ladder, and that's sort of understandable, you know. So to be honest with you, I got a little bit anxious. I'm really vague on timing. I think I wandered around. I think I probably went outside for a while and looked in the Great Hall, and there was no one out there. It was like everyone had gone. And I thought, it's just bizarre. Where has everybody gone? Why has everybody just disappeared? Why wasn't there an announcement, or why didn't someone come and get me? So my anxiety was increasing, actually. I just couldn't understand it. And then I certainly remember being in the library, just wondering what to do. And then I heard this incredible commotion, like all this yelling and yelling and yelling. And then I thought, what is that? And it was anger, like I could hear it. And the only thing I can think of is that was the House of Reps, and that there was a debate. Perhaps it was the no confidence motion, I'm not sure. And there was just all this yelling, and it was louder than I'd ever heard it before, and it went on for quite a while. So I knew something unusual was happening, and I thought it must have been something to do with what my dad had said. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll just go out to the front steps and just see what's going on out there. And I laugh now, but at the time I was quite anxious, because I went out through the foyer and there was no one around. There wasn't a soul to be seen. And I went through those front doors where the main entrance is now, and there was like a wall of police in front of me, but because they had their backs to me and they were all facing out, and so they didn't know I was behind them. And there was like no one could see me, like they were just all facing out. And I remember thinking, what are they facing out for? Like, what's going on? I just couldn't understand it. It was really bizarre. And I sort of peeked through a gap between the two of them, and that was the scene that really sticks in my mind, because in those days you didn't have the tent embassy there, and it wasn't, that whole park area wasn't as filled with trees and so forth. It was much more open. Like Canberra in general was much less treed, and it was just like a big kind of beautiful green field out there. And in those days you had all the main departments were sort of in a semicircle off Parliament House. You had sort of finance and PM&C and Treasury, and I mean, to some extent they're still there, but AGD and Attorney General's Department. But then it was really quite a discreet environment. And when I looked out, there were just thousands of men, because in those days the public service was men, with white shirts, skinny ties, black pants, running towards Parliament House, which is where I was. And they were just like running, all running. And what I was looking at was the front wave. Like, there wasn't anybody there yet. What I saw was like a wave, and it was just starting to come at Parliament House. And I suppose the wave was about 100 metres from the road. And I was standing there thinking, why are they running towards Parliament House? What on earth has happened? And then one of the police saw me behind him, and he was like, grabbed me by the collar and said, what are you doing there? And, you know, I said, well, I work here. Like, what is going on? Where has everybody gone? So I explained to him that I worked in the library, and he said, show me your pass. And I showed him my pass, and he said, well, look, just get your things and go home. It's too hard to explain. Just get out of the building. And I still didn't know what had happened. So I just walked back into the building, and by that time I thought, okay, well, it's not a fire, so I'm not in imminent danger. And I still couldn't see anybody. There wasn't a soul in the building. I went back and got my stuff. There was still no one in the parliamentary library. And I used to come in and out by a side door, which was over there. And I just went out the side door and I didn't stick around, which is a pity. And I went home, and of course my father wanted to know all about it. And then I saw the news that night. Yeah.
Shock for the system.
Yes, well, it was interesting. I just thought that was how a revolution started, you know, like all those people running towards. And they weren't, in those days, for an adult to run, was no one went running, especially public servants in suits. So for them to be running at Parliament House, that was a very extreme action. And as I say, there were thousands of them.
How did you react when you found out what actually had happened?
Well, I mean, it was very politicising, really. I mean, I just remember thinking, gee, well, obviously they see, you know, all those people running thought that, saw it as a major infringement on our rights. And because I was at ANU, there were a lot of demonstrations. And in fact, at the time I had a boyfriend who was in one of the colleges, and bizarrely, Sir John Kerr was expected to speak there one night when I happened to be with him just having a meal, and in the big room next door, Sir John Kerr had been set down to speak, and there was this massive demonstration which we sort of accidentally got caught up in, and the police arrived and things were being thrown. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it just made me realise what a significant moment it was, and you know, how close we were to, well, I mean, they call it a constitutional crisis, and but also the vacuum in authority it created, and the incredible concern it created, you know, with all the public servants. And yeah, I mean, it was a very tricky moment in Australia's history. I can see that, which I think we've possibly put behind us, because now it would be very difficult for someone to persuasively argue it's a good idea to stop supply. And I think actually there's agreed protocols now that would slow that process down. But yeah, it was just, I guess, interesting that I happened to see it as a very innocent bystander.
Quite an experience.
Mm.
And from what you say, it sounds as if it may have shaped your outlook on politics as well.
Yes, well, it certainly began to build my awareness that you can't take things for granted. And I mean, funnily enough, subsequently I did law, which if you'd asked me when I was 17 would I do law, I would have said, well, no, I don't even know what law is. But then I ended up doing law, and of course when you do law you realize what you then realize on a whole different scale what a tricky moment that was in Australia's history, and how polarizing it was, and how dangerous it was.
You left the job, understand, permanently in parliamentary library sometime in 1976.
Yes.
What would you describe as your fondest memory of your time, that the about 2 years that you worked here?
Yes, I think the thing I remember the most, because since then I've worked in the public service and I've worked a lot in the new Parliament House and so forth, is everything was so small and intimate. Like, really, you could interact with anybody here, and people did. It was the parliamentary environment was very intimate. Like, you just rub shoulders with everybody. It was very informal and, in a way, sort of egalitarian in that sense.
Did you have a sense of belonging?
Yes, I did, yeah. And I mean, this building is a difficult building, I know, for parliamentarians, but it has a centre, and it was appropriate when the size was smaller. It was actually a lovely building to work in. So you just, I think just that's my fondest memory, is how small and intimate and accessible everybody was. I mean, I often saw the Prime Minister and politicians walk past me. I mean, if you go to New Parliament House now, to some extent you can see that if you're in the corridors working to ministers. But I was just a 18-year-old casual, and they were just all around.
Mm.
I could have spoken to any of them about anything.
Mm. How would you describe, or what would you describe as your worst memory of the place, if any?
Yes. Well, it's not so much the worst memory, but I think, it's a funny sort of feeling when you suddenly see the building empty like that and all those people running at it. It's not the sort of thing I had thought of about Australia. Mm. Australia, you know, my experience of Australia up until then had always been everything was very predictable and considered and worked out. And, I mean, of course we know that there was a lot of inequality and so forth, but we somehow muddled our way through it. But, I guess I just thought then, you could have a revolution in a place like Australia. I mean, if something really appalling was done, that's what it would look like initially. So I guess it's a bad memory in a way. Mm. It's an educational memory. and I guess the other thing is how male everything was. Okay, there were women working here, but I mean, I do remember the other thing is that they were all males running, because, you know, I think in that day and age, if you were a female and got married, you had to leave the public service. Somehow or other, there were exceptions for the library here, maybe, or perhaps they weren't married, I'm not sure, but it was a very male scene as well. So that's always struck in my mind as well, as where are all the women? What's going on here?
Can you recall any particularly funny incidents during your time here?
Well, I thought that was a funny incident when the police officers were looking out and then they looked at me, and I mean, most of it looked like a hippie. I don't know if they thought that somehow or other one of the demonstrators had got behind them. And that the fact that I snuck up behind them, not that I meant to. And, you know, I suppose in a way my interaction with Mr. Wentworth was, you know, it was kind of educational to see that he was such a grumpy guy but so well read.
Funny in a serious way, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me, when and why did you leave?
The work just petered out, and I didn't pursue it either because, as I say, I was looking for work that was more in my professional field.
Mm. Well, that brings us to the end. Are there any final comments you would like to add before we close the interview?
No, I think that's everything. I think that's all.
Should you have any second thoughts when you hear the types that you think that you would have liked to have said, then just let us know and we can arrange for a supplementary session to be added into the...
Okay, no problems. Not at all.
Well, in that case, all that remains is for me to thank you on behalf of the director of the museum for your willingness to participate in this interview. And, it has been very interesting.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And good luck with it all.
Thank you.